So we're starting in Acts 7, the first five verses, and then we're going to go to Genesis chapter 12 after we've read that. So Acts 7, verse 1 to 5. The high priest said, "Are these things so?" And he said, this is Stephen speaking now, and he said, "Hear me, brethren and fathers, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you.' Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. From there, and his father died. So after his father died, God had him moved to this country in which you are now living. But he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground. And yet, even when he had no child, God promised that he would give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after him." And then Genesis chapter 12, excuse me, actually Genesis chapter 11, we'll go from verse 31 in Genesis chapter 11, and we'll read to Genesis 12 verse 4. Terah, that's Abraham's father, took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his grandson, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I want to look at this morning this whole idea of leaving somewhere in order to enter into somewhere else. Because it says there in Genesis 11 that they left Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. God had a place for Abram and the family. But to get to that place, they first had to leave somewhere else. And that's so often the case for us as believers. God has somewhere, he has things for us to do, things for us to enter into, purposes for us to fulfill, but we can't enter into those things unless there's certain things we leave behind. And God called Abram and Terah, the father, out of Ur of the Chaldeans many years before they actually got into the land of promise. And I think that's interesting. We're going to look at that, perhaps why that is in a second. But God has called us out. The word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which means called out. God has called us out of the world to live for him and to serve him and to please him, not ourselves. So we, in a sense, are a called out people. But the sad thing for Abraham was that they didn't get to the land as quickly as perhaps they ought to have got. Because it says there in verse 31 of Genesis 11, they left Ur of the Chaldeans. And remember, the call came to them, we read from Acts, before God called them a second time when they were in Haran. The first call came when they were in Ur of the Chaldeans. And God called them out of there, and so they left. And on the way to the land that God was calling to, they came to Haran. And it says they settled there. They settled there. I just want to look at something of what that means for us. Because you see, all scripture is God-breathed. These things have been given for us today, so that today we can learn from that. I've got three verses written down from the New Testament, where God says, these things were written down of old for our instruction, so that we can learn and not make the same mistakes. You see, Haran was the place where they got stuck. It was a place where they got stuck. And they didn't make the necessary progress that God was wanting them to. And that can be so true for us as believers. We can get stuck and not move on as God wants us to move on. It's been true right down through the ages. as believers in Christ Jesus, there's so many things that can cause us to not move forward with Him and come into the things God has for us. Praise God He is patient, isn't He? Praise God He gives us a second chance so often, but we can't presume on that. But He gave Abraham a second chance. He called him a second time when he was in Haran to bring him out into the land that He had for him. But it was in this place of Haran that they got stuck. And I want to look at some of the characteristics of this place, really, so that we can learn something from this, so that we don't get stuck ourselves in our own Haran, which is a very real possibility in the day that we're living in. There's so many things that can waylay us and stop us getting into that land that God has for us. So let's have a look at one or two things. The actual word Haran means parched, a dry place. Isn't that significant? It's a dry place. Are you in a dry place this morning, friends, where the Lord seems distant, where you're not really feeding on Him, where He's not fulfilling or satisfying you as you, not because He's not, because you're not in the right place? Are you in that place this morning that is dry and the Holy Spirit seems distant? Well, friends, we can all be there, but God doesn't want us to remain in a parched place. That's the wonderful thing. God doesn't want us to be a dry people. He wants us to be in a place where there is life, where He is. That's ever God's intention, friends, for you and for me, to be where He is. He's not going to change. The Lord wasn't going to say to Abraham, oh, because you've settled in Haran, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to come and dwell with you there and be with you there. God doesn't do that, friends. God isn't going to change His purposes because I decide I'm going to do something different. God has His highest purposes at heart for us. And if we reject them, then we miss out on so many things. And God isn't going to change because you and I have different ideas. And because Abraham settled in Haran, that didn't change God's mind. God still stuck to His purposes that He had for Abraham and the family. This place was also a place of prosperity. It was on a trade route. And we can see 12 verse 5 that Abraham and the family got sucked into this. It says there in verse 5, Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his nephew and all their possessions which they had accumulated. Oh, friends, don't we accumulate much in this world? Yes, God has given us everything for our enjoyment. Praise God, we can enjoy it, but we can hold things loosely, can't we? We're not to hold things tightly and say, this is mine. God has given it to us, and He can take it away from us. So, friends, these things, let's don't get caught up in the whole materialistic culture that we're living in. It can rob us of so much. It can rob us of the grace, of the favour of God, all the things that He has for us. And I believe that's what happened to Abraham and the family. They were accumulating things. They were getting things for themselves. There was so much to get a hold of in Haran. It was a wonderful place to be. I'm going to think of an example today. It was the London of the far of the Middle East. I don't know, is that right? It was a wonderful place to be for the flesh. It was a wonderful place to be for the worldly. But for the man of God, it was not a good place. And Abraham had to learn that. So it was a place of prosperity. And Abraham and the family took their eyes off the prize. Friends, we need to keep our eyes on the prize. Our eye should be on the Lord Jesus Christ and the eternal destination that He has for us. Yes, we are down here for a short time. It is a short time, isn't it? I know some of you folk are a little bit older than me. Just a little bit. And it seems like yesterday we were at school. Yesterday. Time is fleeting, friends. It passes so quickly. Eternity lies ahead. And we need to keep our eyes on the prize. And Abraham took his eye off the prize and the family with him because they were accumulating things. Their eyes were on all the things around them, all the prosperity of Haran. It's also, it was a place of, because of the trade, it was a place of great activity, a place of busyness. Oh, it's the curse of the southeast of England, isn't it? Busyness, particularly. we can be so busy in our lives, particularly us men, so busy at work, so busy with things. Some of you are looking a bit puzzled there, believe me. When you get a bit older and you enter into work, and it can be quite busy. You teenagers, believe me. It can be a place of activity, but even if it isn't to do with work, activity can take all forms, can't it? We can be busy chasing this and that and everything. Haran was a place of activity, and the problem is when we're busy like that, we haven't got time to set our minds on Christ. We haven't got time to spend with Him, the time that He wants us to spend with Him. And this is what happened. It was also a place of ease. You see, they settled there, it says. That word says a lot, doesn't it? You are not going to settle in a difficult place, friends. You're not going to settle in a place where there are difficulties and a lack. This is a place of plenty, materially. And it was a place where they settled. It was a place of ease. And ease, comfort, is really the curse of Christianity so often. Because we get so settled where we are. So settled in the lifestyle that we have. That God finds it very difficult to move us out of that place. Because we don't want to get out of it so often. We love it there. The flesh loves ease, doesn't it? I know, I speak for myself. I love a bit of ease and comfort. But there is a limit to that, of course. It was a place of ease. And it's a place that's difficult to get out of. Because we love it so. But also, it was a place where Abraham's father died. It was a place of death. Abraham's father eventually died in this place and never made it to the land. How tragic. He never made it into the full purposes of God. And how tragic it is if we as believers know the Lord Jesus for ourselves but never come into the purposes God has for us. Because we're so taken up with our own Haran. We never get out of that place. We get stuck in a place and never move out of it. How tragic. And I know many believers in that place, friends, who are stuck. Have never come into the purposes God has for them. Friends, don't be one of those this morning. Can I urge you? Don't be one of those. Don't be a terror. T-E-R-A-H, not terror. Okay? Don't be a terror. And die in Haran. It's where many Christians have died. Yes, they might make it to glory. But oh, what they've missed. What they've missed out on. Friends, don't be a terror. And you know, there are many, many examples. I thought, what examples could I bring this morning of those who had to leave things to enter into the purpose? There are so many. Some people have left everything. Now, Lord's not going to cause to do some things that I'm going to mention now, but I mentioned C.T. Studd last time I spoke. Fantastic cricketer, played for England, marvellous man. Great academic, left it all to become a missionary. God called him out to China and he left it all. You see, he could never have entered into that until he'd left. Rhys Howells, the great evangelist and intercessor in Wales, was called to Africa with his wife. They had just had a baby son. And God said, "Leave, go to Africa and leave your son with your family." What a thing to say, what a thing to do. Terribly difficult. Now, I'm sure the Lord's not going to call any of us to do that. But God wonderfully promised him if he did this, he would give him thousands of souls in Africa. And God did. Thousands of souls saved. Now, the wonderful thing was when he came back into the country, his son actually served the Lord with him wonderfully. So the Lord repaid him. God is no man's debtor, friend. God is no man's debtor. Now, the Lord isn't going to call us to something as dramatic as those things, perhaps, but something simpler. Let me tell you about David Wilkinson. We've all heard of him, Teen Challenge. It all started one night as a young pastor in his 20s, sitting down, watching television, 2 hours every night watching television, and he thought, what am I doing? And the Lord started to convict him, wasting 2 hours a night watching television. He had never read the Bible through from cover to cover as a pastor. And he thought, that's not right. And he set those 2 hours aside every night then to seek the Lord and to spend time with the Lord. And it was from that the Lord called him to New York. And the rest is history, of course. But you see, he would never have got to that place until he had left the comfort of that chair. Until he'd left the comfort and the ease of the armchair and the TV, he wouldn't have got then. It's quite funny, actually, when he says, tells the story about the TV. Because he wasn't sure. You know, God, when he calls us out, we think, isn't perhaps going to come with a big, loud voice. But he had an inkling, a witness within that this wasn't right. And so he put a fleece up for that. I'm not recommending you do this, but he did this. He put a fleece up for the Lord. And he said, Lord, I'm going to put an advert in the paper for this TV. This is 1958 now, so quite a while ago. And he put the advert in the TV. And he said, Lord, if you can get someone on that phone within half an hour of this advert going out in the paper, I know it's you. And he was counting the time down, of course. 29 minutes had gone, and the phone went. The phone went. He said, do you have a TV? Yes. He said, I want it. How much do you want? $100. Okay, do you want to see it? No, I want it. And he sold it. And that was it, and the rest is history. See, the Lord can confirm his purposes for us, can't he? But it started with just a moving out of that comfortable position. Now, I don't know what the Lord has for you and for me in the year ahead and beyond. But one thing I do know, we cannot enter, and we will not enter it unless we move out and leave certain positions. And for you it might be different than for me. There's so many different things we may have to leave. I've listed a few, but I mean, whatever, it's going to be costly. There will be a cost to this. Small or great, I don't know. But there'll be situations where we might have to leave. Relationships. All with a cost. But you know what? When Peter said, let me read this verse to you from Luke 28, because Peter said this to Jesus, and again, you probably remember this. Luke 18, it's Peter said to Jesus, behold, we have left our own homes and followed you. What did Jesus say to him? Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come eternal life. Friends, it's a win-win. It's a win in this life, but it's certainly a win in eternity. Now, then another passage talks about the sufferings as well that go along. So there's not, I'll come to some of those things in a second. I'm not painting a rosy picture that Christianity is going to be wonderful. Everything's going to be fine and dandy. There's not going to be any pain and suffering. That's not true. But I can guarantee what Jesus said here has been proven true down through the ages for every believer who's left anything for him. You leave anything from the Lord and he is not your debtor, friends. He will pay back many times over, both in this life and in eternity. And in eternity. Friends, what a God we have. Now the problem is, of course, as natural men and women, we find it very hard to see the rewards, don't we? What we often fix our eyes on is the things that we're leaving. The costs. As David Wilkerson was contemplating this, he had his eyes on the TV and the nice chair that he was sitting on. Did he really want to leave this? And of course, he couldn't see all that lay before him. I suppose if God had said to him, if you do this, I'm going to give you hundreds of souls, Teen Challenge and all the rest in New York, he would have jumped at it. But God didn't show him everything. See, God doesn't do that. We have to walk by faith. We have to trust him. We have to trust God, friends. Is he not worthy of trust? Is he not worthy of trust, the one who sent his own son to die for us? He is worthy of trust, friends. No one will ever be able to point a finger at the Lord and say, you didn't fulfill your promise. Not one single man or woman through history will ever do that. He is worthy of trust, friends. He will not show you everything. He may ask you to leave certain things. You see, he said to Abraham, leave in the second coin, go forth from your country and from your fathers, from your relatives, from your father's house to the land which I will show you. God didn't put everything before Abraham and said, look at all this wonderful stuff I'm going to give you. No. He said, trust me. Come into the land that I have for you. I will show you a bit at a time. And a few chapters later on, the Lord had him stand on a hill, looking around north, south, west, all this I'm going to give you. But he couldn't see that at this stage. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see what he sees, what we see this morning. Millions of believers down through the ages have been blessed because of Abraham's faith. He couldn't see that. You see, we're to walk by faith, friends. We are to trust our God. When he says leave something, it's because he has the very, very best in store for you and me. He has the very best in store for us as a body of believers. We can trust him, friends. And so often, that prevents us from leaving, because we do not trust him as we ought, if we're honest. We allow the enemy to sow niggles in our hearts and start, instead of putting out doubt and unbelief, we hold on to it. Friends, can I tell you what to do with unbelief? Put it in the bin. Get rid of it straight away. It's only your own heart or the enemy speaking, trying to cast doubt on the word of God. God's word, if God has said something, he will fulfill it. Absolutely. Period. So put out any doubts. We can also fail to enter because of that lack of perspective. We don't see things as we should. We need God's perspective on these things, friends. And we must stop listening to our own hearts and the enemy, who will do everything he can to stop us getting into that place that God has for us. How the enemy would love to have kept Abraham in Haran. Oh, what he would have prevented if that had happened. To keep Abraham in that place where he couldn't come into the purposes of God. Well, moving on, friends, moving on into the place. Why? What was it that God had in store? I just want to, each one of these points has a sermon in and of itself. So I apologize, it's quite brief. But every one of these points I think is important. But every one is a full sermon in itself. The reason why God would take Abraham and wanted to take Abraham into that land. The reason why God wants to move us out of any place he wants to move us out of and into his purposes. Firstly, it was a land of promise. This is a land of huge promise, friends. Where God would fulfill everything he had just promised to Abraham, that we just read of in Genesis 12. Everything will be fulfilled in this land. Nothing outside of it. Stay outside of that land and you would not come into any of that, Abraham. And it's the same for us, friends. What is that land for us? Well, it's Christ, of course. It's dwelling in Christ, abiding in him. Let me read 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 to you. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, For as many are the promises of God, in him, in Jesus, they are yea, they are yes. And therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. It's as we abide in Christ, friends. As we stay in him, as we remain in him and listen and obey him. That's the place of promise. That's the land of promise for you and I. It's where God can fulfill his promises for us. So it's the land of promise. Secondly, it's the land of transformation. It was where Abraham's name was changed to Abraham. It was where Sarai was changed to Sarah. It was the land where their names were changed. And the name speaks of character in Scripture. You see, God wants to change your character and put into you the character of Christ. That is one of his main and chief purposes, that he will form you into the likeness of his Son. And it cannot happen if we are stuck in Haran. It will not happen if we remain in that dry place. It will not happen if we remain in that place of ease and comfort. It cannot happen, friends. We have to move ourselves out of there. Like Abraham, we have to go forth. We have to move. We have to stir ourselves. God isn't going to come along and pick us up with the collar and move us out. We have to decide. And he also give us all the help we need. But we have to determine ourselves as well. It's a land where God clothes us in the garments of Christ, changing us, forming us into the character of his Son. Now that wasn't immediate, of course. There were 24 years before Abraham's name was changed to Abraham. 24 years. Well, for many of us, all of us, I would say, it's a lifetime, isn't it, of change. The transformation, there's a wonderful transformation initially when we come to Christ, but then that sanctification, that process of sanctification continues throughout our life, where God is changing us, making us more like Him. But it only happens if we come into the place He has for us. If we're abiding in Christ, if we remain in our Haran, it ain't going to happen, friends. It just ain't going to happen. How grieved God is when that takes place. When we do not change as He wants us to change. When He can't get a hold of us as He wants to get a hold of us. When He can't form in us the character of His precious Son, who is so beautiful. He doesn't want to see your beauty or my beauty, because we have no beauty of ourselves. He wants to see His Son formed in us. It's a place of His presence. God was not going to change, as I mentioned earlier, for Abraham and say, okay, I'll come and dwell in Haran. He wasn't going to do that. If we determine that we're going to stay in a place like Haran, then we will forego the presence of God. We will not know His presence as we ought. We will be greatly lacking in this area. As a church, individually, God isn't going to change for you, me, or Bethel. God is God, friends. And it was in that place that David Wilkerson came to. When he got into the presence of God, he left the ease of that chair, that God was able to come to him. He had His full attention. And God was able to put things on the heart of David Wilkerson. Oh, He didn't speak audibly to him, but He put things on his heart as he got into the Word, as he got into prayer, and God was able to move him. And it was a simple thing. He saw in the paper, after being before the Lord for many, he saw in the paper these 7 teenagers on trial for murder in New York. If you've not read the book, Cross from the Switchblade, friends, read it. Read it for yourselves. It's a great read. He saw the picture of these 7 children. And they were children, teenagers, who had killed somebody in a gang warfare in New York, up for trial for murder. And tears came to his eyes. That was the heart of God. That wasn't his tears, friends. That was something God had done in him. He got in a car after asking his fellowship to give him some money. And he'd just been appointed as a pastor. To give him some money to go down to New York. And he did, and he made a complete fool of himself, he said. Actually, no, God was in it. He went into the courtroom, and he tried to march up to the judge and see the judge. And the judge said, and of course he was arrested, because the judge had been threatened before this by the gangs that they were going to kill the judge. And they thought that he was one of the gangs, of course. So they got hold of him, and they marched him out. And of course, the journalists all came, wanting to know who he was, and they mocked him because they said, "What's that in your hand, Pastor? That's the Bible. You're ashamed of that?" "No, I'm not. Hold it up for us." Of course, he held it up. They took photos of it. It was all the newspapers. All the congregation back home saw it the next day, and they were, obviously, you can imagine. But you see, because of that, because it was in the newspapers, the gang saw it. And he was able to get into the gangs. And God was able to use that. Isn't God great, friends? He can use our foolishness. And God used that to get into these gangs, to meet with these teenagers. So it's the place of His presence. It's the place where He leads, friends. And we've got to be in that place, haven't we? Individually and corporately. We have to be in that place. Oh, there's no other place to be. If we want to fulfill the purposes of God, we've got to be in the place of His presence. We have to be in the place where He is at. There's no leading outside of that. God isn't going to lead us if we forego His presence and think we can go do our own thing. He's not going to do it, friends. We need to be in that place of His presence. That's the place where He can touch our hearts. He can put His priorities on our hearts and remove ours. because often they don't coincide. It's also the place of plentiful provision, spiritually. Now, Haran was the place of plenty, but it was the wrong kind of provision. This is the place of real spiritual provision in this land, where God would dwell with Abraham, and he would know the abiding presence of God. Oh, it's a marvellous place to be in, friends. May we all seek to dwell with him more and more like that. Even when there was a famine, Abraham never went without. And it's interesting, isn't it? The famine hit Abraham, hit Isaac, and it hit Jacob. Got my H's there. It hit them all. They all had a famine to go through. But God was faithful in all those things. And God provided for them. There is plenteous provision in this land of promise, friends. In Christ there is no lack. There is never lack. If we take ourselves out of that position of abiding, then of course there will be lack. And it's a place of much fruit. It's a place where God can make us fruitful. He can mature us. And that verse in John 15 says, God is glorified by this, that you bear a little fruit. No, much fruit. God wants you and I to bear much fruit. Fruit speaks of character so often, but more than that, of course, but character primarily. God wants us to bear much fruit. You will not bear any fruit in Haran. There is no fruit of the glory of God there. But come into the land that he has for you, and you will bear much fruit. And Abraham was a living example of that. When his wife Sarah died, and I laughed a little bit at this, I didn't realize the age of this, but in Genesis 25, verse 1. Well, if you're in Genesis, just turn there. Because I think God has a sense of humor. Because Abraham took another wife. Surely one's enough. Abraham took another wife. I should say the first one had died. So Sarah had died, and Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. And he had four sons. Now, how old was he, do you think, when this happened? How old was he? He was, I've got it written down here somewhere, he was 136 years old. He died at 175, so he lived about just under 40 years after he married this wife. 40 more years, God was still producing fruit from him. Four sons, I think he had after that. You see, friends, when we are in Christ, God wants us to bear fruit to the end of our lives. He doesn't want us to get to sort of 70, 80, 90, and think, oh, I better put my feet up now. And no, he wants us to bear fruit to the end of our lives. That's what God has for us. So that while we have breath in us, friends, we can bear fruit. While you have breath, you can bear fruit unto God and to his glory. In fact, it's interesting that the name of his wife, Keturah, means incense, which is all to do with prayer. You see, if there's nothing else you can do, friends, you can pray. You may not be able to go out on Guildford on a Saturday, but you can pray. Pray for them. You can pray. If you have breath, there's nothing stopping you spending a bit of time in prayer. So it's wonderful. This is a place of much fruitfulness, friends. It's a place of blessing as well. That passage in Jeremiah, in Genesis 12, spoke of the blessing that God was going to give to Abraham and to generations after him. And all nations would be blessed because of this one man's obedience. I don't know who will be blessed if you obey the law, but I can guarantee there will be many blessed if you walk with God. If you walk in obedience and move with him when he moves you out, there will be many that are blessed. Many will be blessed by that. And of course, the greatest blessing of all, as we heard this morning, is the gospel of Jesus Christ that leads a man and woman to salvation. Two more. It's the place of revelation. This is the place where God was able to show himself to Abraham. God wants to show himself to you and to me, friends, and to us as a fellowship. He wants us to see more of himself. He doesn't want us to have a little picture of who he is. He wants us to see something of his vastness, of his power, of his grace, of his love, of his might, of all these wonderful things that God is. But we can only see that in the place that God wants us to be in, and if we're willing to leave our Harans. But it's the place of revelation. It was the place where God showed Abraham much, even of what he was doing with the nations around about. Even using Abraham in the purposes of the world, he prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. He prayed that God would deliver some, that God would spare. And God rescued Lot and his family because of that. You see, it's a place where God will use us in his purposes as well. It's a place of revelation. And finally, and we mustn't forget this, it's also a place of testing. If I was to finish and not mention this, why would we ever not want to go into this place? But it is a place of testing, friends. It's not an easy place at times. It was a place where Abraham had to encounter famine. It's a place where our faith will be tested. Abraham was called to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. The one through whom God had promised to bless Abraham. God was calling him to sacrifice him. Well, I know what I would have done. I would have run a mile. But Abraham trusted God. And that's at the heart of it, isn't it, friends? Are we willing to trust God? Are we willing to put our trust fully in him? Let me read the verses from Romans 4. They're so encouraging. Romans 4 in the New Testament now. And this is to do with Abraham. And it says... We could read from verse 16, quite a chunk here, but it's quite good to read this. For this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but to also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, the father of many nations I have made you, in the presence of him whom he believed. Even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which God has spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that God, what God had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. You see, Abraham was absolutely convinced God would fulfill his promise. God would do what he said he would do. And he would do it through Isaac. And therefore he was willing to offer Isaac on the altar. Now of course God stopped him. God was just testing his faith. But you see, the willingness was there because the trust in God was there. Friends, we need to get to that place where we trust God whatever. No matter what the circumstances might say. No matter what the world might say. No matter what anybody else, our closest friend might say. If God has said something, hold on to it. It's in that place that God will fulfill his purposes. And Abraham was really tested in this whole thing. And go and read that for yourself in the book of Genesis. So friend, just to finish. Is God calling you or me to leave anything? Are there things in our life God wants us to put behind us so that we can move on with him? I'm sure there are. I think God has given me this morning. Because there are some here that really need to leave certain things. Because you cannot enter the purposes of God unless you're willing to do that first. Oh, you can stay in the place of Haran, but it's a dry place. It's a parched place. It's not a place of blessing. It's not a place where God fulfills his promises. It's not a place where you can bear much fruit. Oh, friends, heed the word of God. God is calling you to leave your Haran. Do what Abraham did. Go forth and leave. Let's pray.